we've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Ruth. Sadbiston on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp.
Thanks for watching this week's NC Spin.
Now, here is Hank Kaiser.
Hi-yo, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone. Yours truly, Sam Beard
and Jim Reed
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harry Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Edda is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. For the Nocturne, we send as
this is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dale here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show. And this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raw.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hef Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Raley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
We're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here. Hour number three, and Phil Campbell was nice enough to come over this morning with her busy schedule. And Tony Avent is here from Plant Delights Nursery and Juniper Level Botanic Gardens. And Brother Rufus, who's all over the place. And you got a big birthday coming up this year, Rufus, in July.
Well,
are you going to celebrate it in July, or are you going to celebrate it some other time?
Well, let's just pick a date and we'll do it anyway.
I figured there'd be a big party someplace.
Well, we're thinking on that.
Thinking about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you had 70 and you had 70 and 80. You had 75 too.
75 and 80. And this would be 85 years old.
How about that? Wow.
And what you do, Tony and Rob, and Phil knows this, you wake up every day and say, I need to do something to make myself relevant today. I hate to say it, but people in this country don't have the reverence for old age
that they
like,
used to.
Like they used to, or yeah, like they used to have in China and places like that. And I'm getting old enough to know that there's a lot of folks even older than I am that are smarter and have something to offer. I'm not fussing about it because I just hate to see people say, well, I retired at 65 years old, and they wilt away and dry up, yeah, do nothing.
Yeah, my doctor tells me not to retire unless you have several hobbies.
Depending on what it is, the wife or husband has to kick them out because they're aggravating the devil out of them. I'm staying home all the time doing nothing.
Yeah.
And there's so much to do out there, and especially gardening is the best thing to keep yourself alive.
Well, I guess Tony can testify that to a certain extent. Of course, it is a business, but you still enjoy gardening.
Oh, my goodness. No, I'd love to retire from the business end of things so I could do more gardening.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, look at Phil. She just turned a young age of 80 years old.
Yeah, and I'm
she's spry as a chicken.
Astounded. I'm not sure we were supposed to say that.
No,
I was going to say she was. We sang happy birthday for her 60th, I thought. But
yeah.
Now you've let the cat out of the bag.
That's okay.
You politicians just can't keep anything to yourself.
I'm just glad to made it to 80.
Yeah,
yeah, that's nice. And you look great.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
I hope you feel good.
I feel pretty good.
You always feel good when you come in here.
I feel pretty good for 80, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, how about that? Now, y'all were talking about something off the air. We do a lot of that, interesting subjects that don't make it on the air. But you were talking about some camellias that have been there on your property for a long time that you're having a bird problem with, of all things.
And I'm just looking it up. And it says they rarely kill them, but they can weaken them.
Sapsuckers. Yellow-bellied sapsuckers.
Yellow-bellied sapsuckers. Uh-huh. And what they do is they create horizontal rows of small holes in camellia bark. Okay? Mm-hmm. Especially camellia bark is what we're interested in. And it says it rarely kills the camellias, but they have killed one of mine that's in a more an extremely shaded area. So
how big is the trunk on this
camellia?
The
one they killed is probably 2 inches or more.
Well, why are they bothering with that, I wonder?
And then now what they've gotten into is some sasanquas, and they're mostly on the sasanquas, they're probably just a little bigger than Well, they're probably twice as big as a pencil.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I started seeing them, the leaves dying. And so I was like, what the heck happened to that tree? Did somebody spray something somewhere or something? I went out there, and those holes are all around the limbs, just totally girdle the limbs. And so the sapsuckers are protected under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act. So then you have to, it says you wrap it with burlap or hardware cloth, or you can put the shiny tape or something in the tree. So
Tony, you want to weigh in on this?
Well, we were talking about this, and I've never heard of them killing camellias, but, you know, I thought, well, now, the way we're supposed to do it now is we ask AI. So I ask AI what happens, and they said, and this is honest. I'm reading this off my phone. Based on the evidence provided, based on the search results, there's no evidence to indicate that Snicker bars kill camellias.
I love it. So that just tells you right there. All I did was, this is what I put in: sapsuckers killing camellia plants. And then I got
Snicker bars.
And I got I got a really good informative group of,
there's good information out there. You just have to be able to sort through the crazy information.
Does that mean that you might want to spray it with something?
Like. It's not going to really help to spray them for a bird.
I can't
you're
see spraying
have to
a
wrap
camellia
it.
Every year just to run away the sapsuckers.
You're going to have to wrap it with burlap or either hang something to deter the bird from coming into the tree.
Then you've got limbs on camellias that grow almost down to the ground.
Yeah.
To wrap it with something, you'd have to cut some of the limbs off.
Yeah. Well, no, you could wrap each limb. They're just mainly, what they do is they peck the holes, and then insects will go in the hole after the sap.
Yeah.
And then they go back and eat the insects.
Sort of like baiting the field for deer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway.
I'm thinking of it, Colin, Billy will be on with us this morning about 10:30. So Billy out at the State Farmers Market. We're very technical here.
Oh, yeah.
at any rate, this time of year, or a little earlier than that, is we're in February, early March, you see a lot of yellow all over the place. I look at my yard, you know, daffodils, mahonias, the carnelian cherry, dogwoods, the let's see, what else have I got?
Pollen. A lot of yellows.
The evergreen barberry is blooming now in my yard. My wife wants to get rid of that because it is deadly. If you fall into that thing accidentally, it's big.
Is that a problem in your house?
You will never see that person again, and they will be cut into little pieces.
Yeah, like pyracantha.
Ah,
it's very sharp. But there's a lot of yellow around. Why is nature out there with all this yellow?
That's a very good question. Generally, it's going to be related to an insect that's out there. I know a lot of the bees are out early. Honeybees are just everywhere when you get up above about 50 degrees. And a lot of the winter plants you'll also notice are fragrant.
Yes.
And that, again, is just the nature of those early blooming plants.
I love fragrant. We talk about Daphne a lot on this show. We love the Daphne. Have you tried to take cuttings and reproduce Daphnes? It's not very easy, is it?
No, they root quite easy, actually. Yeah, take them in June.
Tony can do it, and it's hard.
He said they root. He said they root.
Okay. I want to come back to that.
All right, we'll talk to Jill coming up after this on WPTF. It's 10:18 on the Weekend Gardener. All right, we're back on WPTF, talking a little wildlife off the air about otters.
Groundhogs and otters. Groundhogs.
Rob said he saw some otters down around Ivanhoe, and you saw what? Tony said he saw a groundhog out at Juniper Level.
We've had groundhogs at the nursery.
Anybody seen an armadillo?
Not yet.
In North Carolina? They are in North Carolina.
Yeah, they are. You don't want them.
One time we had a caller from outside of Richmond that had a woodshed with groundhogs under it and wanted to know what to do about it. And I suggested dynamite, and she said, well, that's a little extreme.
Jill is with us. Jill, good morning on WPTF.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Oh, great. How can we help you?
Well, I have two troubled areas in my yard. The first is the front of my house. We had removed the overgrown boxwoods and replaced them with like a row of gardenias and Laura Petalum and candy corn spirea. And on one side of the stairs, things are doing fine. And on the other side of the stairs, the gardenias are not doing well. They don't get as much sun. And I mean, I was struggling for a while. I didn't know if it was the water issues, but I really think it's the light. And I feel like my options are cut down the magnolia that's blocking the light, which I don't want to do. Or is there something that looks like gardenias that could handle less sunlight that I could replace the plants on the shady side?
Well, if you want the brutal facts, let's turn to Tony Avon.
Ah! Nothing that looks exactly like gardenias. If you want something short and evergreen, I would look for there's a little dwarf alyssum, a dwarf anise called Swamp Hobbit, which would be fabulous. That's going to mature out around 2 feet tall, evergreen, native. It's just a fabulous little plant if you can find it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alyssum, especially if you like, does it smell like licorice, Tony? Or?
No. Smell of the flowers is sort of unique. I don't know how to exactly describe it, but the flowers are beautiful. They're red, star-shaped, just a great plant.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay, so it doesn't need too much sunlight?
No, it's a shade plant. Where it grows in the wild, it grows just above waterways in pretty dense shade.
So let me ask you this question. How have you determined that it's got too much shade? Because I'm not sure I've got a gardenia, and it gets shade from pines most
of
the day.
So it gets filtered light.
Most of the day. What's shading your one section of your the front of your house as opposed to the other section?
Some
a magnolia.
Trees, a magnolia, and honestly, some other trees as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know it's 100% the light. I thought for a while it was watering, and we've even replaced some of the gardenias.
What are the symptoms? What are the symptoms? What do you mean? Are the leaves turning brown or?
Yes.
You might want to get your soil tested before you put anything back in. First of all, and I would have to say, do you have any drainage or gutters or anything like that coming off your house on that side as opposed to the other side?
I mean, there's a drain, but it goes underground.
When did the symptoms start? I mean, did it have anything to do with cold weather?
Well, that's always a tough one because I did this about 2 years ago, and we did have two rough summers where we had a lot of heat and then we had a lot of rain. But, you know, I have four planted on each side of the house and only one survived on one side of the house and they all survived on the other.
Yeah, well, the soil might be a problem, Tony. What? Is it a north-facing, south-facing?
Yeah, I was just getting ready to ask that.
Yeah, it's kind of east-south-facing, but that, as I said, doesn't get a ton of sun because of the trees. And when we did replant, we did amend the soil quite a bit with a lot of, like, pine bark compost and so forth as we were instructed to by the nursery.
What kind of magnolia? Is it evergreen magnolia or deciduous?
I guess an evergreen magnolia. It's always green.
Okay, so, the old-fashioned native magnolia grandiflora is... That really provides an intense amount of shade, and the roots really suck the moisture out. So if that's the case, I would tend to think it very well could be the fact that it's a combination of the shade and the excess water that the magnolia pulls out of the ground.
Interesting. Now, the magnolia is on the other side of the driveway and closer to the ones that are doing well.
So
I heard you say one more thing. You said that you amended your soil with a lot of bark. What kind of bark
I
did
it
you?
I thought it was pine bark. I can't remember, honestly. I did what I was told by the nursery.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. What I generally tell people is that it's really your plant has got to grow in the soil that it's surrounded by at some point in time when the roots come out or grow out from the plant. So I generally, and I may be wrong, but I've got a lot of living plants, I dig a hole, I just soften, I take the shovel and soften the soil down, the regular soil down in there, and make sure that I water it well, and then I plant the plant. And then sometimes I do put a little bit of mulch around the top just to not up on the trunk, but around the top, because you don't want to suffocate the plant by putting a lot of mulch on it. So it sounds like there could be, it's hard to know what's wrong without seeing it.
It is very hard to know. And I guess maybe I need to get an expert over here.
Well, get a soil test. That's a good place to start. And maybe take a sample of the leaves.
Take a picture.
To a garden center.
Take a picture of both sides. A really good picture, close-up picture. And you can either bring it to Campbell Road or you can take it to a garden center close to you.
Where you bought them.
And we'll look at it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That sounds good. And if you have time, I have another difficult area.
We have about a minute.
Okay. Yeah.
So
in my backyard, I really don't get sun in one area until after 1 p.m. So it's like hard to find plants that can survive just the most intense part of the sun but not have full sun.
Tony?
Yeah.
I'd tell you, I'll tell you to come out to one of our open houses and take a look. And we've got conditions just like that. We can show you what will grow there. We'll open up the next time, the first three weekends in May.
It's a otherworldly out there, yeah. Jill. So you need to go to Plant Delight's Juniper Level Botanic Gardens.
Well, I'm going to say camellias, because I've got them growing in shade, mm-hmm. sun, mm-hmm. everything in the world.
Camellias, you can't go wrong with.
Camellia, Sasanqua camellia will take the sun better at my place.
Yeah. Jill, thank you. Okay. We're out of time. Give us a follow-up call
thank
on
you.
That. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
More of the Weekend Gardener coming up. All right, we're back on WPTF. We're going to talk to Billy out at the State Farmers Market here presently, but Gail is with us. Gail, good morning. Hey, Gail, don't be shy. Gail? Hey, Gail.
Oh, Gail.
Put Gail back on hold, and we'll go to Paul. Paul? Are they speaking?
Hey, morning.
There we go. All right. How you doing? Could you hear me okay? Because Gail.
I could.
Okay. All right. So, how's everything with you, Paul?
Oh, everything's fine.
And you planted your tomatoes yet?
No, sir.
Okay, good. I'm just testing
That's
you.
Good.
I'm just testing you because there was some concern in here. And there is every year people planting too early. So,
I'm not
you know
do
better
that.
Than that.
I don't know much, but I do know that much.
That's good.
Anyway, so Rufus.
Yes, Paul.
Have you been to the farmer's market in the last day or two?
Probably.
Yes, I have.
Did you? I left a walking stick with in the office there for you.
Oh.
There's
you
a walking stick?
Up with Monica up in the office.
Yes, I left it up in the office. Monica wasn't there, but there was another gentleman who gladly accepted it and said, yeah, no problem, I'll get it to her.
Well, we got to talk to Billy about that today.
We're going to talk to Billy. Did you do a Harry Lauder walking stick?
Well, no, I don't even know what kind of wood it is, but it's kind of interesting. It had a branch, and this friend of mine who gave it to me wrapped it around the stick and made it look like a little black snake crawling up the walking stick.
Oh, good. Right. Rufus just loves snakes.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's not a real snake. Yeah.
Well, I know, but Rob's books are novels, but you still get scared reading them.
Well, I just can't wait to get it, Paul.
All right.
Well, we'll talk to Billy. That's so nice of you to do that in all seriousness.
No problem.
Anyway, absolutely. So nice.
You got anything else?
Nah, that's about it. Although I am getting there. You were talking about retirement, and I am a month and a half away from retiring.
Oh, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Don't do it.
Mike, I work with my hands. And
oh, okay,
stuff.
Yeah.
I started working on a farm in eighth grade.
And they just won't take it anymore, huh?
And I was going to clean the sculptures where I work one more time, and yesterday they said, "Cancel the boom lift. You're not doing it anymore."
Well, I don't work with my hands. I don't work with my brain very much.
Well, just keep busy, Paul. Whatever you do, keep busy.
Keep busy.
Oh, I've got plenty to do.
Keep engaged.
I am not worried about that at all.
Well, nice talking to you always, my friend.
All right, guys. Take
and thanks.
You take care.
Bye.
Thanks, Paul.
Bye.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to go out there and get that thing today, Rufus. But let's see. Who we got Gail. We're going to try Gail again. Gail?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Need to get closer to the phone there, Gail.
Okay. I'm
there we go. We got you. How can we help you right now, Gail?
Well, first of all, I called some time ago about my japonica.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to tell you, I have two lovely bushes, and they are gorgeous.
What variety they are?
I don't know. I brought them from upstate New York from my parents' home.
Oh, how nice.
Wow.
So what colors are they? Describe the blooms.
Pink.
Pink?
Pink?
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
And I often wondered, are they really japonica? Are they something else?
Well, I mean, you can. I mean, the leaves, Tony, are pretty distinctive.
What genus of plants are you talking about? Camellias?
Camellias. Yeah.
I have no idea. My father always said japonica. I don't know.
Yeah, they're camellias, probably.
Yeah, japonica means from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that leads sort of to a camellia.
Via New York.
But there are all kinds of japonicas, right?
There are.
Lots of japonicas, yeah. So we're not sure. If they're from New York, you generally don't see a lot of camellias up there.
I know.
Are they flowering now?
Yes.
Okay.
Beautiful.
That's what you got.
That's it. Then.
Yeah. We got some out back that are really pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, I'm happy for you. I'm glad they're...
Yeah.
Now, Tony, what should she continue doing? I know that Ann Clapp used to talk about cottonseed meal.
Well, you need to... I don't like putting anything out without getting a soil test. So soil test first, and if not, it's like going to the drugstore and saying, I like that package of drugs. Let me take those. And
that's right.
You don't know what's
plant
wrong.
Plant might not like it.
So if it's, if they're doing well, I'd just leave them be.
Yep.
Great.
Okay, that's what I've been doing. And I wanted to compliment Rufus and thank him for saying what he said about people staying active. I get very upset when I hear people say, oh, I'm so bored. There's too much in this
There's
world.
There's a lot to do.
Oh, my, yes.
So much to do. So many people that need support, need help, need encouragement.
Help somebody.
Giving back makes you feel happy yourself.
That's right. That's right. But what I wanted to call about, I wanted to talk about the crepe myrtle. I have a neighbor that cuts his every year. He cuts it way back. And in the spring, it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. Mine, I don't touch, and they're terrible. Actually, the bark on the stem on this, these are, they're black.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like something we have discussed earlier this morning that's rather new around here. It's a bark scale. It's an insect. And is that the honeydew or something, the black?
Well, there's two different. The bark scale is new. There's been a, if you have aphids.
Aphids.
Which secrete the
droppings,
the goo, and then that the molds grow on that. So it sounds like generally you get that, you got to have it in too much shade. Is your plant in shade or sun?
Sun, full sun.
Full
really?
Sun all day. That's pretty unusual.
Well, if she hasn't cut it any, it might, or trimmed some of the dead limbs out, it might be shading itself out too.
Yeah, you might. I would take some pictures and then send them to the county extension office and get them to take a look and tell you, or either take samples and take them by your local garden center and find out what's going on, because it's some kind of stress that's causing those insects.
But the guy who cuts his back, who gives it a haircut, you really like the way that looks?
No, I don't like the way it looks. I cringe every year when I see him.
Have you scolded him?
I'd like to.
No, I don't get a neighbor. Don't get a neighbor fight going.
No. Well, I'm just asking.
I'm telling her.
Don't be mean.
They are beautiful.
Okay. Now, well, you tell him they're beautiful then.
There was somebody from the city that could come out, and he said there's a new insect coming through.
That was what Tony was talking about, the bark scale.
Bark scale, okay. Now he said I could take my garden hose and just give it a real hard hosing.
How big is a tree?
Oh, they're probably, let's see, 6-7 foot. They're young.
You can do that.
That'd be easy to
That's
do
not
that.
A problem.
You can do that and see what happens.
Yeah.
And you can have fun with that.
Yeah, or he said you could get something out of the store, you know, chemical in the spray.
But you got to be careful with that.
Yeah. And then my hydrangea. I never know what to do with my hydrangea. Now, I can see at the bottom of the hydrangea new growth coming. But the upper part, it's dead flowers, dead. How much can I cut that back, or should I even cut it back?
Do you know what kind of hydrangea it is?
No, just something I bought from the store.
Well, if you've got a good growth coming underneath and the stalk looks dead, cut it back down to the ground, the dead one.
Tony?
Not if you want flowers, because the flowers are actually in that dead stalk. So if there's any question about it, leave it alone and watch where those new flowers come out this year. I'm betting if you just bought it that you probably got what we call the mop head hydrangeas, and that dead stalk has got all your new flowers for next year.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was talking about all up into the year.
Yes.
Did you have
you wouldn't dare touch it now.
Do they have blue blooms or pink blooms or a mixture?
Blue.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it is. Mop head probably, some variety.
Yeah. Yeah, if it ever gets old enough and during the summer, then you can do what Rufus said and just cut it to the ground.
Yeah, that's what I meant, yes.
Yeah, but not right now if you want blooms.
Yeah.
But in the summer, you can cut it way down.
Yeah, after it's bloomed. Mm-hmm.
Right after it blooms, if it's too big. If it's not, just leave it alone, because hydrangeas, you should go 30, 40 years and never need any pruning.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay.
See?
Well, I'll probably do that. I don't want to cut something and then ruin it.
No, and you don't want to make work for yourself for nothing.
I wouldn't be cutting it. I'd let somebody else do it.
Somebody else
in the house can do that.
Okay. Well, Gail, nice talking to you.
And you as well.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to talk to Billy out at the State Farmers Market coming up here on WPTF. Disorder in the court. Talking about snakes, everybody. Rufus doesn't like
Yeah, you can
snakes.
Introduce yourself now as an ophidophobic.
Yeah, if you had a nice king snake in the yard here and there.
There was black snakes over the barn. Yeah. But I was always, while I'm milking, I was always looking up the rafters.
You found one what was going to drop on you?
Yeah. And I was in a canoe one time down on the New River that ran by the farm.
Yeah.
And a damn snake dropped out of the limb into the canoe.
You can't say that on the radio.
Absolutely not. And you should have seen somebody getting out of that canoe.
I'm going to get a call from Mr. Curtis now.
Thank you. It was only waist deep.
What kind of snake was it?
Are we on the air?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Put in your headphones.
Oh, goodness gracious. I'm sorry, folks. I talk about my snake phobia.
Well, you were just quoting something biblical.
Yeah, I was quoting something.
Biblical.
Yeah. Yeah, my grandmother read a lot to me about the evil serpent.
And that's where all of this started.
All this phobia started.
It wasn't from your brothers chasing you with a snake.
Well, they all chased me. That's why I don't swim well either. They threw me in the river and said sink or swim. I sank.
Well, who got you out?
And
somebody must have gotten you out.
When I went to Carolina, you had to pass swimming, Rob. And I dog paddled in the deep part and waited in the shallow part while the instructor wasn't looking. And somehow got through that.
Well,
anyway,
I don't remember at State. We didn't have to pass a – did we have to pass – test. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry, Rufus.
Well, we got Billy. Yes,
that was the beginning of your
snake stick.
Yeah, Billy. Is there a stick, a cane or something out there with something wrapped around it that makes it look like a snake that they said was for Rufus? It's in the office.
So it is a beautiful walking stick.
I bet.
I believe it's like West Syria.
It's hysteria too.
Okay,
what a combination! I bet it's gorgeous.
And it has like a cowlick vine that grew around it.
Uh huh.
Still is natural, and they kind of turned it into. We'll just say it's a cowlick vine. That way, Rufus ain't scared of it.
Well, Billy, how long are you going to be out there today?
I tell you what, I could do. Or if you're going to run by and pick it up, Rufus, I will leave it in our gatehouse.
In the what house?
Gatehouse.
In the little gatehouse.
Oh, yeah, I can run by the gatehouse, yeah.
Yeah, I know Rufus knows where that's at.
Yeah, leave it in the gatehouse, and Rufus, on his way to get a hot dog, can stop at a gatehouse and check in.
I might stay here and let them buy me a hot dog. That even sounds like a better plan.
Well, you could do that.
I did last Saturday. Had two wonderful Rufus dogs.
Were you planning to do that today?
Not today. I'm going. I need to meet somebody out at the riding stable.
Well, just leave it in the office, and you can pick it up Monday.
Well, he's going to pick it up in the.
He's going to put it
in the gatehouse.
Okay, well, just put it in the gatehouse. So you are going there today.
Yes.
All right. So what do you got under the farmer sheds this morning? Are they both open? Y'all finished all your work out there?
Yes, they're both open. Of course, the farmers, one up on top of the hill there, that is produce, and we have greens and sweet potatoes, and I saw some strawberries there. There's some grown strawberries. The cookie people are up there as well. But carrots, a few types of squash, a lot of peppers, and apples. I think Rufus's buddy, Miss Cindy, just morning.
Oh,
he's
great.
Down there with
the Taylorsville, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Great people.
You got any asparagus yet?
I did not see any asparagus.
Okay.
Did see some broccoli.
All right. Well.
Got plenty of kale out there?
I bet there's plenty of
it. What is a kale phobia?
All you can eat, Rufus.
So, up in the market shop. Oh, you have any vendors? Flower vendors.
We have
plant
vendors.
Vendors
and quite a few different craft vendors.
How about that?
Down in the bottom. We have, and probably by the end of this week, there'll probably be more plant vendors coming in. We're having a Taste of Spring pop up today.
What do you have? You got the craft fair coming up too, haven't you?
This coming weekend. Yeah,
is
the
craft fair.
People start rolling in on Wednesday night, so they'll be here on Thursday, right on through the weekend.
So if you survive all the green in St. Patrick's Day, you'll have that to look forward to. If you survive. Yeah. By the way, the St. Patrick's Day parade is today in downtown Raleigh. Phil's the only one in here wearing green. Of course, it's technically not St. Patrick's Day yet. So,
right.
Yeah. But at any rate, up at the market shops, I bet it smells good up there.
Yeah, my brother came to town this week from Tennessee, and we walked in there, and he said, oh, my God, this place smells so good.
The bakery.
Yeah,
that bakery, this cinnamon raisin bread, cooking, sourdough.
Yeah, and the grill.
The grill.
And
321 coffee.
321 coffee. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that? It's such a fascinating. It's like a big old country store there. So you can get stuff. Even though it's Lent, I mean, you can, maybe you're still eating sweets during Lent.
Well, there's some healthy stuff up there too.
Of course.
I don't know much about it. I don't really look at that. I look more like a cinnamon roll and stuff.
Cake. And the cakes.
You don't know much about it.
Mary Jo's cakes there. That's healthy.
Oh, and National Pie Day.
Yeah. Put some fruit on top,
right.
And you got some healthy cake.
You say National Pie Day?
Yeah.
Today is National Pie Day.
Is that where
Day,
they throw them at you?
314.
Yeah.
What's your favorite pie, Rufus?
Chocolate cake.
No, pie.
Okay. Chocolate pie.
Okay.
Chocolate pie like my mama used to make.
All right.
With whipped cream on it.
A German baker has some specialty pies down in Farmersville that he made, as well as the Australian has the ham pies.
Oh, nice. And, of course, we got the market restaurant. There's big old biscuits. Get you a ham biscuit or sausage biscuit and a whole meal or lunch. And seafood restaurant.
Okay.
You get pie there, too?
Yeah. I mean, that's seafood. So, Super Sod has all the grass ready for you. And of course, Logan's. That's the place to be.
It is.
Billy, I appreciate. Go ahead.
And what you can eat here, you can go to the hunt and grab some food and take it home to cook.
Mm-hmm.
Man, make a day out of this place.
That's what we should do. That's what you should do. You just need that Ferris wheel out there. Yeah, that'll bring them in. So, Billy, I appreciate it, buddy. Craft Fair. Maybe we'll see you at the Craft Fair.
Awesome. I hope so.
Next weekend. You have a big day, brother. Bye bye. All right. Well, we're about out of time. Tony, your Plant Delights, Juniper Level Botanic Gardens, Sauls Road in Wake County. And you've got May. Set aside May, folks, because you've got to open
first
house.
First 3 weekends. And if you can't get out, check out. I do a daily blog from the garden. Done it for almost 8 years now. So just go to our website, jlbg.org, and you see pictures every day in case you can't be there.
Yeah. And how does one contribute to fund the NC State project?
To preserve the garden, same thing. Go to jlbg.org and click the donate button, and we'd love to have you help us preserve this for future generations.
And you can become a member of the Botanic Gardens and Plant Delights.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's all that information. It's a wonderful website, too. Tony, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
Ms. Phil, you got some sales going on?
Yes. Yes, we do. We've got pansies, and they're absolutely beautiful, and they will last until about mid-May. And hopefully it doesn't get too hot, but they
look
great.
New shipments of shrubs and trees.
Yeah, shrubs, trees, and we're bringing out new perennials, a new kind every day.
All right, Campbell Road Nursery. Brother Rufus, we'll see you. Rob, thank you for coming up today.
Thank you.